The sermon lesson for this morning is our epistle lesson from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. You may follow along in your Bible or in the insert provided. Again, Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. I read in Jesus' name. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were his enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. What could be added to this text? Nothing. This text is simply saying what Jesus has done for you. While you were weak, while you were ungodly, while you were a sinner, while you were an enemy of God, Christ died for you. Jesus didn't die for anyone who is righteous. He didn't suffer for anyone who is good. Jesus died for you, who are weak, ungodly, helpless, dead. Dead and an enemy of God. Jesus died for you who are fighting against God. Jesus died for rebels who are constantly fighting against their Creator. That is me, and that is you. We imagine our problems are one of a thousand earthly problems. Scripture says that we aren't even capable of diagnosing our own real problem. We invent all sorts of problems and we think that that's our problem. But we need God's word to tell us again and again what our real problem is. Our real problem is that we hate God. And I don't know how to say it any different than that. We hate God. That is how we are born, and that is how we live, in hatred toward God. And not just that we need God's word to tell us that we hate him, but more importantly, we need God's word constantly to tell us exactly what this text is saying, that Jesus died for God-haters. That Jesus reconciled and rescued you who are God-haters, who are enemies of God. That he died for you. And that because of his death, you have peace with God. Jesus has rescued you from the real problem that you didn't even know was your real problem, and it worked. How do you know that it worked? Where do you look for the evidence that it has worked? You can't look at what you see. You can't look and see that you're somehow more moral or somehow a better person or that the sun is shining a little bit brighter today than it did yesterday. You don't see that it worked because you're happier or because you experience Jesus more, whatever that might mean. The only evidence that you have to see that it actually worked is that Jesus rose again. 3 days after we killed him in darkness on a Friday, he rose again. That's the evidence that you have peace with God. In our gospel text, we see Jesus saying that he's on his way to Jerusalem. He is going there to be rejected. He is going there to suffer. He is going there to die. And in the gospels, that's basically all Jesus is doing. He's going to Calvary. He's going to the cross. I don't know who said it, but someone said it really well. All of the Gospels are just long passion narratives with really long introductions. Very, very true. There is no Jesus, the good teacher. There is no Jesus, the miracle worker, even though he actually did all of the miracles recorded for us. There is no Jesus, our example. There is only Jesus crucified for you. If you do not know Jesus as God in the flesh, crucified and risen for you, then you don't know the Jesus of the Gospels. Any sermon or any teaching about Jesus that isn't about crucified, dead, and risen Jesus, it's no Christian sermon. It's no Christian teaching. My problem and your problem isn't that we feel guilty before God. Our problem is that we are guilty before God, whether we feel it or not. You and I and all of us are justly condemned before God. The verdict is in. Guilty. And the sentence has been pronounced. Death. There is no possibility of appeal, and we are on death row waiting for the judgment to fall. But then Scripture steps in. This passage steps in and tells us that the judgment has fallen already. The sentence has been carried out 2,000 years ago. Jesus, the Son of God, stood between you and your enemy. Jesus, the Son of God, stood between you and your enemy who is God. And as the guillotine was falling, he pushed you out of the way and he took your place. He moved you to safety. He moved you to peace. He moved you into the grace in which you now stand. He moved you into the place where you are acceptable to God. And not just acceptable, but where you are God's child. He bore your sins in his body. He who knew no sin became sin for you. Jesus didn't die for those who needed a little bit of convincing that God really loved them. And Jesus didn't die for those who wanted to just improve their life or their career or their marriage or their work habits. Jesus died only for God's enemies. Sin makes you a God hater. And Jesus died only for those who hate God. Jesus says, "The light has come into the world, and people, that's you and me, loved darkness rather than the light because our deeds were evil." It's only those who are sick who need a physician. It's only sinners who need forgiveness. It's only those who are dead that need a resurrection. If you don't need forgiveness, if you don't need resurrection, then Jesus has nothing to offer you. Nothing to offer you anyway that you don't think you already have. but you don't have it apart from Jesus. Jesus has come for you, whether you like it or not. God has demonstrated for you enemies, you God-haters. Jesus has brought God's love to you. Jesus has washed you in his life. Jesus feeds you his love. Jesus makes you his own child. Therefore, you have peace. You have peace with God. And the peace that you have with God is all because of Jesus' action, Jesus doing, Jesus dying for you. You have peace with God and access to God because you stand in grace. You stand in Jesus. You stand where God pours his love into your hearts. And so he invites you to stand here at this altar so that he can pour himself into your mouths in bread and body, in wine and in blood. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.